Hey, folks, welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a blessed day as always. Hope you guys got your purple sticks in for the morning already. You're feeling good, ready to rock and roll on this awesome middle of the week.
I've had mine.
I'm sure you have. You still say about 2 in the morning? Two packets in the morning, 2 scoops in the morning.
Oh, I thought I said, are you up until 2 in the morning?
No, that's me tonight on Hagman.
I have 2 in the morning.
2 packs or 2 scoops?
Well, same thing. This morning I had 2 scoops because I found the... I brought it in here, by the way. So you have it here now. Somewhere.
This one?
Yeah, I got some in that
one. It's empty.
Now.
This is empty.
Well, it must be over there. Then.
He used them again.
No.
This is what I have to deal with. I get all excited.
No, it's right here.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry about that one.
Behind your iPad.
Yeah, my iPad was hiding. No, so you guys, give these a try. Let me know what you think. I've filled these cans up to the max, but we've got the purple sticks in a can on sale. Not actually on sale. Don't get excited on that. On the website, in stock, ready to go, $59 a can, 30-plus servings on here, and that's 30-plus real servings. I mean, you could throw scoops in here. I had one guy measure it out. He actually measured all the scoops. Took a scoop, skated the top of it off, and measured it all.
Did he really?
Yeah. He said he got like 35 out of them.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. Dollar for dollar, you get more than the packets, but then the packets, the real aspect of the packets is the convenience. It does cost a lot of money when you run through the packet machine. I mean, it massively increases the cost on them, but it really increases the efficiency if you're running and traveling in a gym bag flying. You're carrying cans in a backpack. While you're flying,
the problem is if you let's say you're on an airplane, and you open up a packet and you dump it on the floor in the airplane, you dump the packet,
you dump the packet,
you dump that,
you crack
jar.
A lid,
you dump that thing, getting a scoop out of it, you got a mess, and you got a lot of money wasted too.
That's
how I look at it.
And then you know, purple sticks.
Then you're out of purple. Well,
now you're on your trip without purple sticks.
And plus, what I did is they have that little see-through mesh thing in the suitcase, right? I just took about 5 of the doggone boxes. No, 5 boxes of packets and stuck it in there for the
boxes.
Yeah,
so they're always in your suitcase.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Hulk Hogan. They've been some research on him. Now they said he had a problem with atrial fib, had an irregular heartbeat, and he had dealt with leukemia. And he was addicted to fentanyl, and he actually came out with a Netflix documentary to disclose that he was addicted
before
to
drugs. Before he passed?
Yeah, so he died of a heart attack.
He was a cool dude. I met him before.
Me too.
Great guy.
He's a really nice guy.
That wrestling, though, man, I don't know anybody who's been in that professional wrestling that didn't just wear themselves out.
Well, they had him wrestling almost every night.
Oh, there was. If you watch that documentary the WWE on it, they had him on that one schedule. It was like every single night it was Christmas Day. I think they had one. You're working on Christmas. You're wrestling on Christmas Day. He's finally like, dude, he did it for like 10 years straight.
But Hulk Hogan's heartbreaking secret battle with fentanyl addiction has been laid bare in a remarkable final interview that he recorded shortly before his death last summer.
Yeah, it was pharmaceutical prescription fentanyl.
That's correct. He was talking about the physical pain that he endured from wrestling and all the surgeries he had had. And he said that he signed a deal with TNA, Total Nonstop Wrestling, the second largest wrestling promotion behind WWE, but quickly realized he was no shape to compete and returned to opioid to help him manage the pain. This was in 2009. Too many dives off the top of those ropes.
Well, it is. I mean, that's a lot of those guys get hooked on that stuff, man, because the problem is you have that constant schedule.
I like to look. He's a really nice guy.
Chronic inflammation, man.
And he said, I was taking 2 80-gram fentanyls in the morning, stuffing them under my gums. Then I had 200-300-milligram patches of fentanyl on my legs, and they gave me 6 1,500-milligram fentanyl lollipops to eat.
Oh, jeez.
Hogan then went on to explain how professionals were left stunned by the amount of drugs he's pumping into the body. I went to the pharmacy. He goes, you should be dead. We've never seen a human being take this much fentanyl.
He's a big boy.
Remarkable. Hogan revealed he was in so much pain that he was forced to sleep in a chair, adding, if I just twitched my finger like that, my whole back would spasm and torque. And,
That's a hard lifestyle, man.
The wrestling icon battled through 2012 when he stepped out of the ring for the final time shortly before his TNA contract expired in 2013. He collapsed in his 5-bedroom mansion on Clearwater Beach, Florida, on the morning of July 24th last year. He later died in the hospital of natural causes. He said he had a massive heart attack. And he was a great guy. My deepest condolences to the family. I don't know what to say. You talk about throwing a shadow and being a legend. And I mean,
as far as in that world with wrestling,
Well, no, in every world.
It was him. I mean, that wrestling was Hulk Hogan. I remember back in the 90s watching him.
He made Vince McMahon, in my opinion. Hulk Hogan made Vince McMahon a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Vince McMahon wasn't paying those guys anything back in the day. Well, and that's why finally...
Well, that article came in on Vince McMahon. That was pretty rough, man. He didn't make him look very good as a person.
Not at all.
Yeah. What's your first story?
This is good news. I like this now. Major victory. U.S. military ends flu vaccine mandate for all service members.
About time.
Permanently now. Pam Long, director of Children's Health Defense Military Chapter, said up until this week, service members were still being punished for refusing a flu vaccine. She called policy change a major victory. The U.S. military ended its flu vaccine mandate for all active duty and reserve service members and civilian personnel effective immediately. The video accompanying announcement posted by the U.S. Secretary of War, Peter Hegseth, who I don't really care for anymore. He did a speech at a church. I don't know if you saw this. And then he did a prayer at the end of it. And in the prayer, and I didn't realize this until somebody overlapped it, the prayer that he used is almost identical to the scene in Pulp Fiction.
Did you see that? It wasn't scriptural.
It wasn't scriptural at all. And he copied it almost verbatim and changed some of the words.
Maybe he liked it.
Dude, nah.
Pulp Fiction, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, but
in front of a church praying and basically copying a scene in Pulp Fiction like that, that's a graphic movie if you've seen it. And I'm like, that's what you're going to copy for your prayer in church? I didn't care for that at all. I thought that was a bad taste. But however, this is actually
But there's no guarantee that he knew it came from there. One of his aides could have given it to him out of a spoof.
He read it. It was a spoof. He read it. I didn't think about that. Hey, man, here's your prayer. Go
see,
and read it.
See if you can read this.
Oh, gosh.
It's right out of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, like it was a rough movie. He goes, we're seeing this moment to guard any absurd overreaching mandates that essentially weaken our warfighting capabilities. I wish at least this would have happened during COVID. That was one of the most bizarre things I've seen in my life. I mean, they had tier one operators. They had SEAL guys. They're basically getting discharged for not taking that COVID shot. I mean, yeah, guys, don't worry about all the threats you got to deal with and all the ops you're doing. COVID's your biggest threat now. You take a COVID shot.
I mean, you're dealing with live fire, people shooting at you.
And combat. COVID. Remember,
the one guy came out,
there was one of the director of the SEAL team. He was talking about the BUDS teams and how they had a massive increase in cardiovascular events and heart attacks and basically people dropping out of the SEAL program after they got the shot.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Cardiovascular system shut down. They push them so hard. Yeah.
Decreased circulation.
Anytime somebody tells you you're required to have a medical intervention done to your body without your consent, meaning a flu shot or a COVID shot or any shot whatsoever, you need to take a step back and question everything they tell you after that, period. Nobody has a right to tell you you have to take an injection into your body. U.S. military changed a little bit because you're government GI once you sign those papers. Well, but in the civilian world, heck no, dude.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If you want to take supplements and live, you can do it. If you don't want to take supplements and die,
you don't have to.
Do it.
Choice.
You got your choice. Okay.
Choose life.
You know,
choose death.
You know, an interesting article came out this morning. I'm going to segue into it in just a second. You know, my number one food on my top 10 list of foods never to eat were high-fat luncheon meats.
Yep.
Bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, etc. Now, one of the primary reasons for that is because of sodium nitrite. And, of course, the Bible tells you not to eat pork, too. And sodium nitrite reacts with aspartame to form a diketiopeperazine, which breaks down to form a nitrosuria, which are the most effective agent known to man for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. Now, also, when you combine this together with the sodium nitrite, you also get problems with depression and everything else from the diet sodas. Now, here's an interesting article that just came out. Now, I'm linking it back to diet sodas for a reason because of depression. Sodium nitrite suicide crisis.
Really? I haven't heard this yet.
No, this is a hit this morning. Study finds the meat-curing chemical is hitting young men the hardest and having them commit suicide.
Sodium nitrite.
Now, listen to this. A new UK study in the BMJ Public Health analyzed postmortem samples of 201 suspected suicide cases and found 87% involved nitrite or nitrite roughly 100 times above normal.
Really?
Young men dominated the cohort. 68% of cases were male, 71% were Generation Z or millennials, and 4% were minors, with the youngest confirmed death at the age 14. CDC data shows at least 768 U.S. suicides involving antidotes and chelating agents, including sodium nitrite, between 2018 and 2023. Categories have been rising, so it represents less than 1% of American suicides. common meat-curing chemical that most Americans know only from its ingredient label on bacon has become a central to the rising suicide crisis among young men. Sodium nitrite, sold in high purity form through online marketplaces for years, can cause death through rapid oxygen deprivation. A recognized antidote exists, but the chemical's path from industrial supplier to vulnerable buyer runs through online forums and a patchwork of regulation. We've recently been going to catch up. You know, and now it's saying the suicide cases have gone through the roof. Now, I don't know what's going on with all this, but that's why I'm linking it back to diet sodas. It goes, yes, in regulated amounts, it's allowed in foods like bacon and hot dogs, ham, all that kind of junk, as well as smoked salmon. I've seen it in smoked salmon. Don't ever have wild. It's so aggravating, also. You go buy some super expensive wild salmon, like, you know, smoked, and it's got sodium nitrite in it.
I've seen it with Red 40 in it.
Me too. The USDA has also flagged the labeling tension with bark products as uncured or no nitrite added. The amounts permitted in food are vanquishing small compared to what shows up in suicide cases. In the UK study, the Queen Mary team measured medium blood concentration, roughly 300 to 600 times higher than normal physiological sorts of things. So I don't know if they're using this as some type of drug.
Well, there is a report that came out in 2022 that went into detail on how certain people were actually using sodium nitrite as a suicide agent. I mean, they were overdosing on sodium nitrite to kill themselves, and because that's the wild part about it, right? It's in food that you eat on a regular basis to cure meat and make its shelf life longer, more stable. You ingest too much of it, it kills you.
It says when swallowed, it converts to hemoglobin into methylglobin, a version of the protein that cannot carry oxygen. Then your lips and fingertips turn blue, blood pressure collapses, ingesting rapidly causes severe problems, and then you die within minutes. So they may be using it to commit suicide.
Yeah, I thought they were tying it as far as people that are committing suicide, higher sodium nitrite levels. But no, I've heard that before as far as being used as suicide. The problem with it is, again, like I said, why isn't our food supply? Well, if you take low doses of it, doesn't kill you. What?
So what they're saying here in this article, which I am reading on the air, by the way, is that they are using suicide. They think over there in Great Britain, they can order it online to basically ingest and kill themselves.
Yes, have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at the end of the day, why is it still in our food supply in such high concentrations in all the meat?
Why is it in anybody's food supply?
Right. If you have a drug that goes, well, if it's okay, it doesn't kill you if you don't ingest enough of it. So you just put in all the food supply. And that concept kind of missed it. If I had a glass of water, I have my shake right here, right? I poured a bunch of rat poison in it. I'm like, well, you could drink it. So I didn't put enough rat poison in here to kill you. Not enough to kill you. Just, you know.
Fluorized rat poison.
Right. Well, you just drink it, though. It's fine. I'm not drinking that. It's got rat poison. Wait, it's not enough to kill you, dude. It's not enough to kill you. It'll be fine. It tastes good. It tastes really good. I'm still not drinking it, dude. I just watched you put a scoop of rat poison here. You're not listening. It's not enough to kill you. Nobody's going to drink it.
It says it's sold in high purity through online marketplaces for years. So apparently you can order it as a suicide drug. Oh, my God. What a nightmare this product is, man.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah. And so I was thinking they were doing it and ingesting a bunch of food they're eating.
But think back to what you just said. What it does when you ingest it, and you ingest high enough doses of it, it kills you. What about the effects when you ingest low enough doses of food that doesn't kill you? It's still having those effects, just
on the
minimal.
Blood.
It's just minimal. It's not enough to kill you. Just doing that to your body just on a lower dosage should not make you die.
This is one of those products that should not be in the food supply at all. Now, you know, maybe when they put it in the food 100 years ago, they didn't know much about it. They know a lot about it now. It's kind of like Tylenol. It shouldn't be on the marketplace either. It's just unbelievably
toxic.
Well,
that's why. I mean, we covered that article a couple months ago when it was talking about cured processed meat. It's being listed as a carcinogen, a type 1 carcinogen. Nothing. Same category as smoking type of cigarettes.
Well, you know, I remember the World Health Organization said the number one cause of cancer globally is pork.
Yeah.
And it could be because it's got those sodium nitrite in it. Of course, it's an unhealthy meat anyhow with what it does with the parasites.
I think a lot of it ties into that. I don't think pork's ever been a healthy meat to eat, but I think adding sodium nitrite just took it to a whole another level of carcinogenic effect on the body, and just free radicals. Mm-hmm. It just overloads the body.
Well, it's crazy, too, when you look at pork products. You know, they tried to repackage it as the other white meat. years ago. And they did a good job repackaging it and saying, oh, yeah, it's like chicken. No, it's not. It's swine. It's pigs. They eat cancer boils off other pigs. It's a nasty meat. Don't eat it. It's full of worms. Don't do it. See, well, I'll cook it, make sure I kill the worms. You hear what you just said? Do you hear what you just said? I'll cook it to make sure I kill the worms. Well, how are you getting the worms out of the meat? So now you're going to eat dead cooked worms in your meat. I mean, why would you want to do that?
You just look it up. Overall, sodium nitrite in processed meats. It says sodium nitrites, preservatives, add to processed meats, primarily bacon, sausage, deli meats, to prevent bacteria growth and enhance flavor. While they improve the taste, high heat cooking can convert into cancer-linked compounds called nitrosamines and also different forms of carcinogens in the body.
This is great.
So, I mean, they're letting you know. I mean, it's highly toxic. It's very carcinogenic.
Well,
to the body.
Let me ask you another question. This is just a curiosity question. Just to see how you're going to answer this one. You know, God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have life and have life in abundance. You should be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? He wants you to eat clean. He gave you the foods to eat to make sure you keep your temple in a good shape and your body runs right. He did. He did that for you. He gave you basically the Cliff Notes in the Bible to follow as a guide to what you should and shouldn't eat. Now, Lucifer comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And God tells you if you eat pork that you're going to get these diseases. He says that in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. He says, so you need to choose life instead of death. So here's the question. Does Satan want you to eat pork? The answer is yes. It's an unclean meat. He wants to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy. Does God want you to eat pork? No, he don't want you to die. Oh, so that means if you're following Lucifer's diet, you're going to eat pork. Now, that by itself, right there, Austin, should stop you from eating pork. Period.
You're right on that. And here's the part of this tying in here. This
is you're going to get involved with this.
Well,
this
no, residual nitrate and processed meats. What you were just saying, cancer is an anaerobic disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can't live in presence of oxygen.
Well, yeah.
This product reduces NO2.
Immediately.
It reduces nitric oxide in the blood flow as well.
Yeah.
It reduces nitric oxide and reduces oxygen in the body. I mean, it massively increases free radicals, it massively increases oxidative stress, and it massively decreases oxygen to the body. Mm-hmm. Meaning the body can't get rid of the oxidative stress, and on top of that, it's going to increase every type of cancer possible when you add this correlation. It's literally like taking the perfect formula for cancer and adding it to your system.
Well, why would Lucifer not do that?
With sodium nitrite and deli meats.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, why would he not put fluoride in there? Remember who the number one exporter of fluoride is? I mean, why would they not try to do that if they're worshiping Lucifer? I mean, why would they not want to try to kill all the people who don't follow Lucifer? I mean, sure. This is some crazy stuff. Oh, by the way, Lufthansa has cut 20,000 flights to save fuel as the Iran war fallout started to spread. 20,000
flights. A lot of companies that are shaving flights off, man.
Well, you know what? The problem is the last few times I've gone on an airplane, they were packed. Remember, we went to St. Louis a few months ago.
Because the flights are shrinking. There's less flights.
This was before Iran. I mean, it was packed out. I mean, front to back. You know, the standing room only. It was awful. You know, the planes were so packed out. There wasn't an empty seat.
No, there wasn't.
And now Lufthansa is cutting 20,000. It's not 2,000 flights. It's not 200 flights. 20,000 flights to save fuel as the Iran war fallout spreads. And also remember, Lufthansa is hemorrhaging cash because they have had all kinds of strikes with their pilots and their flight attendants right now. So,
if you look at the reports from all the airlines have massively decreased as far as sales and profitability over the last 2 months because jet fuel spiked so quickly. The problem is when you have price points that are already planned and price points on flights that people are pre-booking, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got planes. You know, I'm booking a flight 2 or 3 months out. Well, the flights are getting a little thinner, so everybody's booking the flight. Well, the flight's booked out for $200-$300 a ticket,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, now all of a sudden, you just realize your projection on that flight isn't no longer $3 a gallon for jet fuel or $3.50 a gallon for jet fuel. Now it's $6 a gallon for jet fuel on the same flight that's already booked in advance where the price is already fixed.
Yeah.
Meaning some of these planes may actually have been taking a loss on these flights. So what they did?
Mm-hmm.
Cancel them. We're going to take a $50,000 loss on this flight.
Let's cancel.
We're canceling
20,000 flights.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. So we're going to lose, you know, $8 million this week on flights. We have to cancel the flights. So that's what I think is going on with a lot of this.
Oh, by the way, who's Andrew Hugg? You know, the U.S. Army nuclear chief has been escorted out after the James Keefe expose. Andrew Hugg was reportedly placed on administrative leave after an undercover video alleged he shared sensitive national security details with a stranger. The footage released by O'Keefe Media Group shows him discussing U.S. military actions, nuclear policy. This is all classified stuff and classified related topics in a public setting. Andrew Huggins being identified in recent reports as a chief of the Chemical Nuclear Society with the United States military, role described as overseeing nuclear and chemical safety. His name has surfaced following an undercover investigation by the O'Keefe Media Group, which alleges that Hugg disclosed sensitive national security information during a conversation with an undercover journalist. The interaction reportedly took place in a public restaurant and was captured on a hidden camera. According to the material, Hugg made a series of remarks about the U.S. military operations and capabilities. He claimed the United States still possesses nerve agents and said a U.S. Army chemist had recently died from exposure. He also acknowledged that the U.S. airstrikes had killed children in Iran, referring to them as collateral damage. And he has been taken out, and he will probably be, honestly, Austin, he'll probably be thrown out of the military, receive a dishonorable discharge if he doesn't go to jail.
Yeah.
So that's a major issue. That's a pretty big leak. And oh, by the way, there was a pyramid shooting the other day down in Mexico. A German citizen did it. So now they're saying he was a devotee of Hitler.
Oh my gosh!
Really?
Did he get killed? Well, you know, and I just gotta say this: at least once a month, we have to dust off a Nazi. We got to make sure we put him in the corner, full SS. And Nazis did it again.
Hitler's been dead for a long time, guys.
It's crazy to me.
I just got a kick out of that. I just thought, this is just crazy.
This is interesting. New research. Now, this is the PhD that worked on the research last year on vitamin C and cancer. And I'm not saying this is my words. This is the PhD's words. The new research from Jin Zhao suggests that vitamin C is acting as an anti-cancer immunotherapy. Not my words. This is what the doc is saying here. It says animals, including house pets, produce their own vitamin C. Early human ancestors did too, is what they claim.
He doesn't know that.
But this is where it's going with it. He said, however, we don't anymore. It says the first ever clinical trial conducted on vitamin C was with scurvy in 1747 with receiving citrus fruit juice, high vitamin C, to basically help prevent the guys from getting scurvy on ships.
Having their teeth fall out. By the way, that's a subclinical version of leukemia, according to a lot of physicians.
Yeah. So what he's saying here is now, the new work from the lab, Research Department of Cancer Biology, suggests that vitamin C acts as an anti-cancer immunotherapy. He says the idea of using vitamin C as cancer treatment was first proposed nearly 50 years ago by double Nobel laureate chemist Lynnes Pauling.
It was actually longer ago.
Physician Ewan Cameron. Their clinical report suggested administering high-dose vitamin C significantly prolonged the survival of terminal cancer patients. Again, this is a study they're talking about, but this recently published in Cell Magazine details the mechanism behind the potential anti-cancer effects of vitamin C. And this is one of the reasons why, and again, I'm not making claims. This is what the doctor's making claims on here. And it talks about what it does in the body and how it actually really increases the body's ability to fight off everything. Now, this is one of the reasons why when we talk to a lot of people, especially during COVID and other times, people were always saying that they had great results taking vitamin C. Again, not making any claims. But when you start going back and you're saying, we've been doing research since the 1700s on why vitamin C is so important for the body. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's that time that people actually start listening and utilizing a supplement that's relatively cheap for the most part, but has enormous gains. There's low cost in it for overall the factor. I mean, I think our vitamin C is, you know, $40, $50 a can for our powder.
I love that stuff.
That's product for the week. It'll be probably on sale today. And that's a huge can. It's like 2,600 milligrams. And I got quercetin. And I got bioflavonoids in it. The product's loaded. And you look at it, and it's like, well, it has these massive health benefits. Yet, you know, people complain about it for $50 a can, but you see the same people out at dinner the next week, and they're spending $200 on dinner for one meal. Well, I can't afford the vitamin C, though. It's just too much money. Okay, then don't buy it. But then don't come complain to me and ask me what you can do for certain issues and how you can get your body feeling better and better energy and better skin, better collagen, basically handling. I mean, the thing is, collagen and vitamin C go hand in hand as far as for skin health. There's another article that came out here.
Well, I tell you guys, I take 6,000 milligrams
of that a day. There's another article that just came out. It was the end of last year, and it hasn't really gotten much coverage until now. It says eating more vitamin C physically changes your skin. It says people who basically ate kiwi fruit that was high in dose vitamin C in the clinical trial.
Nothing compared to our product.
Thicker, healthier skin. I was about to say, the vitamin C they're saying was on average was like a gram a day in these high-dose vitamin C kiwis. That's it.
Not in close.
Yeah, one scoop of the vitamin C powder is 2,600. And they said, they finally showed glowing skin really does start within. It's healthier, thicker skin. Sciences University of Otago Facility of Medicine have identified a direct connection between how much vitamin C people eat and how well their skin produces collagen and renews itself. It's finding the skin health response measurably to dietary vitamin C, not just topical treatments. This is what I've always told people before. The lotion, the skin, those skin routines, those are great. Those are important. A lot of people get good results with those. Cool. But you got to internally get the products in your body. The skin absorbs, as far as with the topical products, you're only getting a minute amount of the ability to it because everything goes back to internal oxidative stress and inflammation. If you don't have proper vitamin C, if you don't have proper nutrients, and your body's on a constant chronic inflammation all throughout, the priority of your body is not going to be nice, tight, elastic skin. It's not. It's trying to figure out how not to die from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. It's trying to figure out how to flush all the toxins out of your kidneys. It's trying to figure out how to get all the waste out of your colon that's plugged up from Taco Bell four times a week.
You know, the Livingston Wheeler Foundation, years and years ago, this is back in the 30s, actually said that vitamin C was one of the best treatment protocols for leukemia. Now, this is what they said. This is back now. Whether they still feel this way or not, I don't know, because it was almost 100 years ago. And they said that basically scurvy was a subclinical diagnosis of leukemia. And they said that a lot of people who have leukemia problems, if they start taking large amounts of vitamin C, can be helped. Now, I'm not saying cured. I'm saying helped. But I don't know. I'm just telling you what the research has said. In addition to that, remember, vitamin C, when you take it intravenously, it converts into hydrogen peroxide, oxygenates the tissues, and it's one of the best things you could possibly put into your body. It really is. What is that?
It's an empty can of vitamin C. Well, I just used it all. I know. Use it all.
Hang on a second. Let's show this. This is what I use every morning, two scoops. And man, there's a lot of stuff in there,
especially
too.
You stack it with this.
I take that.
That's with it.
Well, the thing about it is that if you keep your supplements and your vitamin C and your collagen high enough, you just stay really healthy all the time.
Listen to this. We're talking about skin. According to Professor Vissers, the relationship between blood vitamin C and skin vitamin C stood out compared to other organs, meaning they tested to see how much of vitamin C. Yeah. Listen to me. It says, we were surprised by the tight correlation between plasma vitamin C levels and those in the skin. It was much more marked than any other organ we investigated. The research team found that vitamin C circulating in the bloodstream reaches every layer of the skin and supports healthier skin function. We're the first to demonstrate that vitamin C in blood circulation penetrates all layers of the skin and is associated with skin function. Professor Vissers said the findings reinforce the data that skin health begins internally with nutrients delivering naturally through the bloodstream.
Read the next sentence. Here we go.
Vitamin C is essential for collagen production, which is commonly added to skin products. Mm-hmm. However, vitamin C dissolves easily in water and does not absorb well through the outer skin barrier. It's just what I was saying with all those lotions. The study showed that skin cells are highly efficient at absorbing vitamin C from the blood. I mean, internally, the bottom side of the skin, they absorb it much better, with uptake into the outer epidermal layer appearing to be a priority.
You know, Linus Pauling got two Nobel Prizes for his work on vitamin C. And when he came out with this stuff back in the 60s and the 70s, the medical community went berserk against him.
Oh, yeah.
No, they went, but I mean, they went absolutely ape poop against him. They couldn't believe that he actually said
this. Heresy.
No, it was unreal. And he just laughed at him. He was taking 10 grams a day. So he's taking like four scoops of this a day. And he says, I feel great. And so as the years progressed and the decades progressed until he was almost 100 years old, all the people that were boo-fooing him all died. Sometimes, you know, outliving all these critics is like the ultimate revenge, I guess. Listen, but he was a really nice guy.
This is the part that I always tell people. This is why I tell you that I usually microdose vitamin C all day. Mm-hmm. I'll take a scoop or capsules with it throughout the day with meals. You can figure out how it best works for you. Obviously, you have to make it something that's fairly convenient for your daily schedule, however that works. But right here, it says daily intake is key. Maintaining steady vitamin C levels in the blood is essential since the body does not store vitamin C long. Professor Vissers noted that healthy individuals can reach optimal blood plasma levels with around 250 milligrams of vitamin C multiple times a day. That was just in their study.
He's the only person to win two unshared Nobel Prizes.
Yep.
Think about that. Only one. That's how, and it was all in vitamin C.
Yep. He says the body does not store vitamin C, so receiving five plus times a day every day is basically great. They're saying you can take up to five times a day. So small amounts up to five times a day keeps blood C levels absolutely through the roof to get the most benefits from skin. Now, again, sometimes that could be probably inconvenient. So I was trying to take these every 5 times a day. You take the capsules.
2 or 3 times is easy.
That's why 2 or 3 times is what I do. 5 times a day is a lot as far as trying to take that throughout the day. But usually with breakfast, I always take it. My shake, I throw powder in my shake. Then usually with lunch after the show with my eggs, I'll take a couple supplements, and sometimes I'll just throw a capsule or two in there. The capsules we have in this product as well, is we have the exact form of capsules. It's 600 milligrams per capsule. So you could also do that, take one of those with multiple meals or throw the powder, however works for you on here. But I was just really intrigued with this article talking about how the vitamin C, what it does as far as blood plasma levels, has a massive increase in skin health from the bloodstream, not just from the topical layer, which is a lot of people trying to boost this all the time. You know, vitamin C, you know, formula lotion. It works. I'm not against some of it, but again, it's nothing like taking internal vitamin C every single day.
Here's the trivia on Linus Pauling.
Yeah.
Pauling had been practically apolitical until World War II at the beginning of the Manhattan Project. Robert Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Okay. Who developed the atomic bomb, if you want to believe all that, invited him to be in charge of the chemistry division of the project of the doggone Manhattan Project.
I did not know that.
That's how famous this guy was. He declined. Pauling said, not interested.
Don't be involved in building
Not wanted to uproot his family. Yep.
Well, yeah, because they went out to the middle of the desert and lived out there.
Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you what, he really I'm reading this stuff. This guy's got a bio.
Declined to get involved in the Manhattan Project. That's
he was a chief chemist
for the Manhattan Project. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting.
So he was, but yeah, he's got a lot. I'm gonna pat. He was a Vietnam War activist.
I don't blame him on that.
Oh my gosh, this guy was unbelievable. He's on and on. Here we go. Pauling's work on vitamin C in his latter years generated much controversy. Ready? He was first introduced to the concept of high dose C by a biochemist, Irwin Stone, in 1966. After becoming convinced of its worth, Pauling took 3 grams of vitamin C every day to prevent colds. Excited by his own perceived results, he researched the clinical nature and published vitamin C in the common cold in 1970. He began a long clinical collaboration with British cancer surgeon Edwin Cameron in 1971 on the use of intravenous and oral vitamin C as cancer therapy for terminal patients. This is 60 years ago, 50 years ago, guys. Cameron and Pauling wrote many technical papers and a popular book, Cancer Vitamin C, that discussed their observations. Pauling made vitamin C popular with the public and eventually published 2 studies of a group of 100 allegedly terminal patients. They claimed vitamin C increased survival by as much as 4 times compared to untreated patients. I'm reading what he said now and what Wikipedia is saying. A reality, you know, it goes on and on. Just personal life. He's okay. But what's interesting about this is he was something else. Now, they're saying he was taking 3 grams of C a day. I read he was taking 10 grams of C a day. So whether or not
I have two, I've also read 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. I think so, 3 is.
I don't think he was taking. I think he was taking
3 is still a good dose. I'm gonna call it 3. 3 is a little bit under what we do. 1 scoop in the powder.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give you the. I'm gonna post the Wikipedia ad so you can get it off the bro.
Now let me clarify this too. So I need to put this out there. If you're not normally taking vitamin C,
you can't get
do
diarrhea.
Do not go give yourself 10 grams in one sitting at all. Mm-hmm. Make sure you do small doses throughout the day.
You're going to get diarrhea.
Yes. Make sure your body can handle it as far as in the low doses. Mm-hmm. And my opinion, it's much better to do low doses multiple times.
You have to build up to it.
And use it with food. It also helps it absorb better, and it also helps the body basically process it better when you use it with food, because that's normally how you'd be getting high doses of vitamin C. Like I said here, when the guys were eating all the high-dose vitamin C kiwis in the research study for the overall aspects of the skin. So I thought, you know, pretty interesting on here. It's also, too, one other article I was trying to pull up. I've had it here, and then I lost it. Forgive me on that. I normally have my stuff pretty dialed in over here. And it was going into detail. Oh, yes. Apparently, I was a day behind on that with the Grassroots House Committee. As far as the rules, I told you guys to call up on the cell towers and all that. It got reported today. After facing massive opposition from local governments and health freedom advocates.
Thank you.
Hope you guys called in on it. Federal lawmakers delayed voting on the bill today, which would have largely stripped local governments of the authority to reject installation of unwanted cell towers near homes, schools, and parks in their communities. This was the H.R. 2289 American Broadband Deployment Act of 2025, and it was getting a ton of traction again. And the proposed bill included language stating that local governments may not deny and shall approve applications from any cell tower and antennas. The bill would allow antennas to be installed on practically any structure, including homes, schools, utility poles, overriding all local zoning laws. Anytime you see bills come like this, 100% of the time, always try to get them denied and declined. When you start having federal government overreach where it says it shall not be denied and it shall be approved and that local zoning committees can't stop this stuff from coming in, it is always, always a bad thing. And I say that 100% of the time. There is no and or this. It is always a bad thing. The federal government, when it comes to them installing things in local areas and the local areas not having the ability to push back or say no or have, you know, essentially zoning laws put in, no go for me, man. It's supposed to be state law. State was supposed to supersede federal law. That was a long time ago, though.
Well, before the Civil War.
The War of Northern Aggression, you mean?
Yeah, the War of Northern Aggression, when the unbelievably horrible Lincoln, whose wife was a Satanist, used to have seances in the White House, just that Lincoln, he basically destroyed the South. And before the Civil War, it was basically a loosely grouped knit of states. They all
exactly
had their own constitutions. That's why we have our own state constitutions. And they only came together in times of war,
right,
or somebody's attacking the United States. And they were basically not being controlled by the federal government.
The basis of what you have to realize is every state was a constitutional republic in its own state. That's why you had, so like the Florida legislators, we have the Senate, we have the Congress in Florida. Well, then what they did is those individuals that represented Florida would then all come together at certain times as far as with the federal D.C. and have decisions to say what's working best for all the states. It was never designed to be the all-powerful D.C. dictates what all states have to do at all times. It was never designed like that with a constitutional republic, nor can it work long-term because you see what's happened now. You get all these pedos, you get all these you get all these flaming boys up there that want to push their agenda. They start forcing things from a federal level that all the states have to comply with, even when the states decline and say no. Remember this, and I'm not, and if you guys haven't figured this out yet, please do some research, read some emails. The Civil War was not at all fought about slavery. That was not the basis of that war.
Minor issue.
That was a minor issue. It was not, let me say, it was not a minor issue. Slavery was an atrocity. Mm-hmm. It was horrific. I've never been supportive, nor will I ever support that aspect of forcing.
But it wasn't the cause of the war.
But it was not the cause of the war. The northern states started using the federal government to vote more taxes, more rules, more tariffs on the southern states, and the southern states were being forced to comply and pay more money, more taxes, more tariffs. And the thing was, the South was the breadbasket. The North produced nothing as far as for actually food or living aspects. They were producing buildings and steel and all these different things.
Well, now Iowa and some of the other states were producing a lot of different corn and stuff. And
yes, you know, Iowa's out there, but you got to remember, it didn't go far out west yet.
No.
So a lot of that stuff as far as out west, as far as the food flyover states, didn't exist with the federal government.
That's true.
So it was coming from the South, and the South finally said, how about this? How about you guys figure it out on your own? We're just going to opt out. We're going to opt out of your little research study here.
Cotton tariffs is what did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They said, no, how about we just don't do it? How about we just form our own little colony down here? We have the South United States, and we'll just figure it out on our own, and you can figure it out on your own.
Should have been left that way.
Yeah, the North would kind of figured out on their own, figure out how to handle it.
Oh, by the way, the 12, now it's 12, missing or dead scientists point to the great disclosure deception. Whoa. One does not have to be a Bible-believing Christian or a conspiracy theorist to appreciate the possible scenarios, but it helps. Yeah. On the evening of April the 17th, 2026, a single-engine Mooney went down over South Carolina, killing all people aboard. The pilot was named Tony Moffat, 60, a decorated military veteran, experimental test pilot trainer trained at the U.S. Naval Test Pilot School, and a man who spent 14 space shuttle missions supporting the ISS construction as a payload and flight crew specialist at NASA's Johnson Space Center. His wife, Lisa, 61, their two sons, research engineer, and basically another professional, died alongside him. An entire family, entire repository of knowledge gone at one moment. Moffat founded an aerospace consulting firm after retiring from the Army in 2008. He worked on the Army's Degraded Visual Environment Mitigation Program and the Next Generation Unmanned Spacecraft System. He was, by any measure, exactly the kind of man whose experiences and expertise sits at the intersection of advanced propulsion, military aviation, the kind of classified aerospace research that governments do not discuss at press conferences. He's also the 12th name on the list of the United States Congress now formally asked four federal agencies to explain of why all of these guys who are involved with space exploration have died suddenly, including on this aircraft crashed. Let me say something about Moonies. Moonies are a very difficult plane to fly. They really are. I've got a friend of mine who's a pilot. He trained me. And I told him I was thinking about buying a Moonie. He said, I will not fly with you in a Moonie.
Will not fly with you?
Wow, that's a strong statement. I said, well, how about if you just fly for it? He said, I will not fly it.
I want to fly it.
He said, the Moonie is a very fast plane. The problem is it's got a very slippery wing. Now, what does that mean? If you take like a Cessna 210 and you stall it, you know, you're at 8,000 feet, and you cut back on the power, and you stall it, and it starts to stall, you drop the nose, the wing catches real fast. It's very stable.
Yeah.
Moonies don't do that. They're slippery as crap. They'll nosedive on you. Mm-hmm. And because it's a fast airplane, has a very slippery wing. So he could have just been in a bad airplane and may not. But this guy was an experienced pilot. I have a hard time believing he died like that. But I have to look at what happened with the research report.
There's just been a lot of really weird stuff about
Now one of the head people here, another senator, is another person is saying, and that's a girl from Florida. She's saying that what we need to be doing is we need to be, she's saying this on talk shows, we need to be reading the book of Enoch.
Whoa. I haven't heard somebody bring that up in a while.
Enoch. We need to be reading the book of Enoch. And the reality is, she's saying, yes, we need to be reading the book of Enoch, and we need to realize that we are not alone. And she's on this UFO committee thing. She says, we need to be reading the book of Enoch. Now, the book of Enoch was taken out of the Bible about 323 by the Catholic Church. And I don't know why they did it. They were trying to just consolidate the Bible. And the Ethiopian Bible still contains the book of Enoch. It talks about the watchers and the angels that are coming down from heaven. You can call them aliens if you like, and breeding with women and changing the DNA of our planet, and why they did it, why they continue to do it, and why they basically are saying, hey, look, you know, this is what's going on. We need to be aware of what's going on. And we need to not pretend like it didn't happen, because we have all kinds of ancient monuments. This is why I covered all of this stuff in detail in Angel Wars. So I think her name's Luna. Republic. Her name is Luna.
Okay, so I don't know how we're going to sidetrack on this. I don't normally go down this rabbit hole.
Here we go.
I'm going to go down this rabbit hole for a second. A lot of people, again, this is just my speculatory opinion. Don't send me letters about some biblical knowledge that you have on this topic that far supersedes everything with mine, because quite frankly, you might be right. I might be right. You might be wrong. I might be wrong. My biggest speculation with how they said dinosaurs existed a long time ago, it comes from the chapter seven, essentially, of Book of Enoch. A lot of people don't, whatever they agree with me on this, I'm going to read it. You guys do what you want on it. This has always been an intriguing chapter to me on the Book of Enoch, because it explains a lot if you figure out what they're possibly doing. Chapter 7, Book of Enoch. And all the others together with them took upon themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go into them and defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms, incantations, cutting of roots, made them acquainted with plants. This is referring to the fallen ones from heaven that basically cast down to earth that fell with Lucifer. And they became pregnant, and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells. Make that interpretation of the size. They said, who consumed all the acquisitions of men, and when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. And then they began to sin against the birds, the beasts, the reptiles, and the fish, and then began to devour one another's flesh and drink their blood. Then the earth laid accusations against the lawless ones. I can't imagine in the creation of time, when Adam and Eve were here, that God decided it would be a fantastic idea. And I'm not God, but speculation that it would be a fantastic idea to put a 50-foot tall carnivorous T-Rex in the Garden of Eden. I don't see a lot of positive aspects that come out of that.
I don't think they respond to petting.
Yeah, they respond to petting. So how'd they come about? I think they're mutations with the fallen ones when they sinned against the reptiles. You take that. I've had people ask me that question. That's my basis of where it came from. Again,
what did Anna Paulina Luna say about the Book of Enoch? Congresswoman links UFOs to biblical books and viral Joe Rogan interview. Said we'd be reading the Book of Enoch. I got to give her credit, man. She's
I've read the whole Bible. I've read the Book of Enoch. I find it an interesting book.
Well, I love it when he's walking, you know, with the Ancient of Days.
Yeah.
And I just, it's a great book. I enjoyed reading it.
Take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Take that chapter 7, verse what it is, chapter 6, verse
sin against the reptiles.
Yeah, chapter 7. Also, switching gears, though, this is an interesting topic. I brought this up, and sure enough, it's one of those things I warned everybody about. COVID vaccine injury program, which was for the COVID-19 vaccine, has paid only for one death, has denials at 98%.
You've got to be kidding me.
Out of the 7,000, almost 7,000 death claims that have been put in, or excuse me, 7,000 overall claims that have been put in, they've only paid out 51 claims with the Countermeasure Injury Compensation Fund. Now, people heard the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. This is not that. The COVID-19 vaccine could not fall under the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund that was put together in 1986 because the COVID-19 vaccine was an experimental shot. It could not be classified into the Vaccine Injury Fund because it wasn't supposed to be used. It was experimental. It was under emergency use authorization. That's why when the doctors got the vials in their shop, in their office, the insert sheet was empty. Numerous doctors posted about it. They pulled a little sheet insert. Every single vaccine, every single pharmaceutical drug is required to have an insert sheet, period. So what did they do? They put a blank one in there that all it had was basically the emergency use authorization aspect on it on the front little square page, and the rest was all blank. So it said the death benefit was paid in March. The only death benefit since CICP has paid out since the start of the pandemic. The program has a staggering 98% denial rate. The CICP was established under the Public Readiness Emergency Preparedness Act, the PREP Act, if you guys remember that, under the PREP Act declaration, during an official public health emergency such as COVID-19, manufacturers of vaccines and other countermeasures associated with health emergency are exempt from all liability. This means people believe they were injured by one of these products, can't sue the manufacturer, or even go to the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. So the CICP was built. And this is the Countermeasure Injury Compensation Fund. It has to be filed within 12 months of being injured, and it only limits its coverage to serious bodily injury and death. The government defines serious bodily physical injury as injuries that are life-threatening and permanent impairment of bodily function. 58 people have been paid out of this in 6 years.
Millions dead.
But here's the problem that I have with this entire aspect. They told you had to get the shot or you couldn't go to restaurants. You couldn't fly. You couldn't keep a job. They told you your entire life was going to be turned upside down unless you took this unbelievably atrocious shot. And then they come out and say, oh, by the way, we've got a program. If you were injured, we'll compensate you. But we got a 98% denial rate, meaning good luck, Chuck. Unless you're dead, nobody's getting anything.
It's the same thing with the Vaccine Compensation Fund for children. Hardly anything gets paid out of that. But they still paid $5 billion out of that.
Yeah.
Over 40 years.
This was an absolute atrocity that happened in the United States and the rest of the world. But this is why, again, I've told you, if you had that shot, if you did do it, and you're trying to make yourself healthier, check out the Spike Protein Survival Kit. That kit was specifically designed with known topics, known products, known ingredients that we put together years ago that help out with cardiovascular help. And also, when we saw what was happening with a lot of things, we added it together as the NAC, the vitamin E, and the natokinase, all helping down as far as preventing blood clotting, what natokinase claims to do. The NAC is a massive detoxifier. NAC should be in everybody's cabin, period. I mean, what it does for the liver, what it does for detoxifying, what it does in, as people have claimed, reducing non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And remember, it's the only one of the only natural supplements that is approved in hospitals to be used in Tylenol overdoses. Period. I mean, it's listed as the main product for a natural supplement that they can do intravenously for people that come in with Tylenol overdoses. So again, if that's something you need to look at, check it out. Check it out at healthmasters.com. We put together a lot of these kits on purpose for everybody to make sure you have the ability to get the highest quality supplements you need and get the results that you need from them. This is why we do it. So be sure to call us if you need anything. And also, too, make sure you're checking out thebrowershow.com. We've got the podcast platform available on here with all the different podcasts that we have, and you can look at them every single day, or you could go in and basically sign up for updates. I tell you guys, do this every make sure if you haven't done it, do it. Name, last name, email. I don't sell your information. I never have. I never will. I hate my information getting sold. I told you a dealership sold my phone number last year, and it has been nothing but a boondoggle trying to get spammers not to call me now. I've done different things on there. I still get these random calls occasionally. And now they spoof it as like local numbers. But an 863 number called me. And I'm like, oh, I said, man, must be a customer. No. They're calling me about my non-existent factory warranty on a car I don't even own. Really? Really?
I have them trying to let me borrow money from them.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I have to delete 10 or 15 voicemails.
Your loan is approved for $18,000 at 29% interest.
By the way,
what?
The founder, the senior pastor of a Church of Christ in California, saying that we need a third New Testament. And
what?
No, she wants to rewrite the Bible.
That's what I was.
You know, and she goes, we have to basically. She goes. She's gay. She's married. She's feminist. She's a bishop. She says, I can't wait to read. She's going to rewrite the Bible into her third testament. So she's a lesbian, married to another woman, hardcore butch dyke. You can tell by her haircut. And now she wants to give us a new Bible to read that she's going to write because she says we need a new one because. There's too many pesky verses about being gay and offending God and how you shouldn't be doing that. And so it's going to be easier just to take that stuff out of the New Testament and rewrite it.
I wonder if she wants to take out John chapter 8 where God calls those pesky guys in the synagogue.
Children of Satan.
Children of Satan. Yeah. I wonder.
Well, you know,
just out of curiosity.
You know, Thomas Jefferson did that too.
What?
He rewrote part of the Bible.
He rewrote it?
He did. Jeffersonian Bible, yeah. No, he was not a Christian at all. He did not like the miracles.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you got to remember that. You say, well, you can't say that about Thomas Jefferson. Just look it up and get back with me on it.
This is interesting. Roblox, who I've warned parents about, settles with three states over endangering children. They're paying out $36 million. They're committed to strengthening children's safety through these measures, such as a mandatory age verification and chat restrictions. This needed to be done. Roblox has been out of control. I've told you guys this for years now. This has been a massive, massive arena for pedophiles to come in and do some absolutely atrocious things in connection with children on here, with video games they produce, and all types of stuff on it. The issue we're starting to do now, and this is the part that's the quandary that I've found myself in, a lot of other people have found themselves in, is the main context, the main concept of what legislators do now, their answer to everything. For anything that's going on like this, is to put age restrictions, which I agree with. However, here's the crazy part that always keeps happening. And I don't know the way to go because I've always been torn on this. So essentially what Roblox is going to do is a lot of the other ones, they're going to agree to verify the age of users, restrict content accordingly, use facial estimation technology and government ID to verify users. And utilize behavioral monitoring to identify those whose ages may have recorded incorrectly. You see what I said, guys? I'm going to read that again. And I'm going to put it on screen four so you guys can read this for yourself. Under the deal, Roblox has agreed to verify the age of users and restrict content accordingly. Use facial estimation technology and government ID to verify users. Do you understand what that means? That means Roblox is going to need access to your facial camera, your selfie camera. That means that Roblox is going to take the facial expressions if a child gets on there and use it as a facial recognition estimation technology to utilize behavioral monitoring to identify those whose ages had been recorded incorrectly. This is why I said do not use your selfie camera for any reason whatsoever. I don't use it. Don't ever use it. Don't approve it. Don't agree to it. Don't have permissions on it. And there's electrical tape over it that works fantastic, by the way, if you want to figure out what tape works so it doesn't come off your camera, your phone. It's electrical tape. They have to do this in order to monitor and record and actively build data points on every person. Is Roblox using all this pedophile stuff? Yes. This is now their answer to it, though. This is their answer to it. Now we want to monitor your kids and record their facial recognition so we can maybe possibly deny them from being on here if they're underage. But remember, it's going to still be open to kids. It's just going to restrict content for people under 18. So they're going to do, again, massive data collection and harvesting under the guise of safety. So where does the line fall with this? what's okay to be allowed as far as with the monitoring and recording with these platforms, and why children shouldn't be using it, but also privacy that doesn't exist anymore.
Here's just the reality of all of this. Okay, we have AI.
Yes.
It's used for evil, period. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't write some articles.
I was about to say, there's some benefits to AI that I've used that were pretty good for.
But here's the thing, okay? It's used a lot for evil, let me put it that way.
Okay.
And, you know, we could have AI come in here and scrub the entire internet of pornography. Remember, that's George true. W. Bush was getting porn off the internet, and then 9/11 happened. Because he was never planning on getting porn off the internet, in my opinion. And the reality is that if you get the porn off the internet and you get these children, you just get rid of the filth and you get rid of OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you know that. It just needs to go away. It turns a bunch of girls into a bunch of prostitutes, all it did. And if you get rid of this stuff, which, by the way, they'll never get rid of because the boys that breed the free
control, dude, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah, and so, you know, and they say initially it kept the internet alive. That's the problem. It's not the fact that these certain groups of people are out there doing certain things. They've always done that, but they're making it very easy now on the internet. And, yeah, you know, and that's a big problem for everybody who's got children, because we don't want our children to be exposed to that. The biggest thing is we need to get the pornography off the internet. But it'll never happen because they make too much money on it.
It's a muse of control with these banker boys, is they use it to keep people distracted. Mm-hmm. It's a massive distraction tool. It degrades the soul. It rots the brain. It rots relationships. Mm-hmm. That's the point of it. That's why they want it on the internet. They want to keep people distracted with another bread and circus.
Do they want you to eat pork? Yeah.
Do they want you to
look at porn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they want you to drink diet sodas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they want you drunk and burn out your brain? Yeah. Do they want you sick with cancer? Yeah, they make more money.
Do they want you on statin drugs?
Yeah. It's just always the same group. It's a Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan. It's always the same group.
So then you come to Crossroads. Come to crossroads in your life, right? Okay. What do you do with those crossroads? Do you do the things that they want you to do? Do you sit at porn all day, eat Dorito chips, drink diet sodas, watch porn on Netflix, watch perversion on Netflix, and become a roving moron that follows nothing but what CNN and they tell you to do, and lose all relationships and basically have no relationship with Christ and have no aspect of concrete rational thought? These are all the directions they want you to go. Or do you go the opposite? You say, I'm going to take supplements. I'm going to keep collagen and keep my gut health. I'm going to take the glyphosate out of my diet. I'm going to keep my body stronger, smarter, faster, harder. I'm going to do the best I can to keep my kids strong and resilient and do the things that I should do. That's the crossroads that I think we're reaching a point now to, where there is only A and B in this current society. There's no road up the middle anymore.
No, it's just right.
The knowledge is there, guys. There's no more excuse saying, well, I didn't know it did this. I didn't know Roblox was basically a pedophile website, basically, for a lot of these guys. I didn't know that sodium nitrite meat was bad. I didn't know that I needed collagen and vitamin C to maintain my skin health.
But you got to remember, though, Austin, and I'm going to just sit here and just say something about that. The vast majority of the people don't read anything, buddy. All they want to do is look at Kim Kardashian butthogs. They're so caught up in the pornography and the lust of the flesh that they don't even think about the things that are of God any longer. They really don't. I'm talking the vast majority of the population, over 50%. And so they don't read about sodium nitrite unless they watch this show.
Well, that's why we put together this podcast.
They sit and they eat pork. I have people who listen to this show who still eat pork. And if I'm talking to you, you know I'm talking to you right now. And they refuse to stop because they like their bacon.
You know, it's kind of funny to me. This is the ironic part. I'm just going to say this because the show's almost over, because I've dealt with some of the same things. When you bring stuff up to people, sometimes like this, you're like, hey, pork's unbelievably toxic to the gut. Sodium nitrite in the pork's so totally toxic to the gut. People sometimes have this response like they think you've got some benefit by having them not eat pork. Well, Ted's telling me not to eat pork because, you know, he's... It makes him, you know, it benefits him.
Dude, how?
There is no benefit to anything we're telling you on our side. I'm trying to get you healthier. I'm trying to make you smarter, stronger, do better, not have as many health problems, not be in the hospital industrial complex, not have to be on 15 statin drugs or 15 pharmaceutical drugs.
Who was that guy? What was his name? I forgot his name. He was the one who had all those big parties all the time. They put him in jail. He's a black guy. What was his name? You know his name. What's his name, Rich?
I don't know. Big parties.
P. Diddy.
Oh, P. Diddy.
Yeah, P. Diddy had these big parties all the time.
Yeah.
And Denzel Washington goes to one time.
Yeah.
And about 8 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock, he leaves.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? He says at midnight, Lucifer shows up.
I want to be there.
I don't want to be there.
Hey, I like Denzel.
I like Denzel. So you guys keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Remember, there are certain foods God does not want you to eat, period. Stay away from those foods. And remember, we love you and we appreciate your support. Thanks for watching the show, and we will see you tomorrow. What's the product of the week?
Vitamin C powder. Change in a couple hours. I'll let you guys know when it's up. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the contacts. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us. Healthmaster.com. Appreciate you guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Love you guys.